Stay tuned. Coming up, Heart of Mind, radio for the new millennium.
They say I'm crazy, the way you got me open, baby. Ooh. They say I'm bugging, the way I'm time sweating your loving. Ooh. They all sit and wonder why this feeling I cannot hide. It ain't a question of pride. Ooh. It's love. 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 They say I'm tripping the way you got my whole life flipping. Ooh. They say I'm
Love is gone, we're not the same. It ain't a question
And welcome. I'm Catherine Davis, and this is Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. That first piece of music I played was It's Love by Jill Scott, and I thought it would be really nice to have a bit of a pick-me-up. It can be thought of as a very dark time in the world if you look in certain directions. A lot of chaos, a lot of harm taking place. But I am one that recognizes that in this environment, it's very important for us to not do self-harm by completely surrendering to the absorption of chaos. And while we can pay attention to it and take actions towards it, we still must remain and maintain our own inner calm, that calmness of the water that is illustrated in Come to the River by Diane Reeves. And I have been spending a goodly amount of time working on that very focus, being able to maintain a sense of inner peace despite the outer chaos. And I would say that I use meditation a lot. I use different practices. My practice is primarily Qigong, but Qigong has practices that are Buddhist, that are also Taoist, that are based on traditional Chinese medicine. So I work daily to keep my nervous system intact and functioning as it should. And I also work daily to maintain that inner sense of calm. And as a part of that inner calm, we really have to release some of that old stagnation that we are holding inside of our energy system, inside of our nervous system. And from that, it manifest within the tissues of our body and causes us to be less than well. So it's important to take that time to do that. So I want to invite you to relax, just relax for a moment, and then we will get into our topic for the day. And so I'm just going to play, I think, a little bit of David Darling for you, if I can. And then we will get into our topic, which is really inner focus, how to be strong from the inside out. Everything happens really from the inside out. So we want to pay close attention to that. And let's see if I can get this thing to play. Maybe not. Ah, wait. Well, if it decides to play, it will. But in either case, I want you to just take a moment and adjust yourself in your posture wherever you are. If you're sitting, if you're laying, if you're driving or operating equipment, you always want to be more mindful in this process. So please do be sure to do that. And just breathe for a few moments, taking that inhale, taking that exhale, and just allow yourself to breathe. Take a few breaths in, take a few breaths out, and allow yourself to breathe. It's really important to do that, so that we can just get ourselves in a state of just inner peace and inner awareness, breathing into our bodies and allowing everything to straighten itself out, work itself out. Allowing the feelings, whatever they may be, to exist, that's fine. Whatever the feelings may be, you want to allow those feelings to exist inside of you. And just release it. Breathe it in and release. And just give yourself a chance to come to your equilibrium, to your balance. And to remembering your own humanity. As much as we have compassion and empathy and outrage at what's going on in the world, we need to come back to balance so that we can continue to operate with wisdom, intuition, intelligence, and communicate what we need to communicate without exploding and imploding. And it's important to take care of our own well-being and our own health. I was listening to the story about the airman who brought forth a very powerful protest, but in so doing also created a measure of self-harm. It's hard to know where people are in their mentality, in their conviction, but sometimes people are driven to acts that can't be retreated from, that are final. It could be in protest, it could be in despair, it could be in so many different ways that we take action in a state of heightened states of feeling, of thinking. And it's really important that when that happens, when we feel ourselves getting into that realm, that we take a step back and we breathe and we consider other options, and maybe just giving time enough for something to resolve within ourselves before we take an act that is irreversible. So, and many people get to that stage depending on where they are in their lives, what their struggles are, what their politics are, what their are. So, in an environment in which we have a lot of struggle, a lot of hype, a lot of interaction, a lot of fighting, a lot of demanding, and these are all things that may very well be necessary to do. And according to our understanding, our necessary to do. But for those of us who are witnessing it and participating, either out in the streets protesting, or whether you're working through other kinds of politics and lobbying and all the things that we're doing to try and transform this world and stop the atrocities that are taking place all over, actually. It's really important to be able to stay centered within oneself as we look at the situation, taking it in wholly for what it is, but not allowing the horrors that we witness to permeate our sense of inner being and inner balance. So I just want to say that, you know, put that out there so that we can also move into a more relaxed state. There's nothing wrong with retreating from the attention that we're giving to the world and turning within to make sure that everything is as it needs to be within your own being, as it is, as it needs to be within your family, within your community, so that we can think to monitor each other. Is there someone in my family who's losing a grip? Is there someone that I love that needs to be uplifted and supported? Is there some way we can rally around a powerful message so that one person or a few people are not alone carrying the full weight of that message? And so just giving a little attention to that facet of our being that really, that really makes a difference in how we interact in our world. I'm going to play a bit more music for you, maybe some Bob Marley.
Song here is called Old Pirates, you know, redemption song. Old pirates, yes, they rob I, sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit, but my end was made strong by the end of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing another song of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption. Redemption songs. Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the tank. How
yourself from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help me sing? Oh, another song of freedom. Yes, yeah. It's all I ever have. Did you know? Redemption songs. Sing the harmony. Redemption songs. Sing on with me, children.
Bob Marley and the Wailers. And I went to see his movie this weekend. It was pretty cool. And hopefully you'll get a chance to see it. I thought I enjoyed it. Wasn't entirely authentic, but it was entirely musically beautiful. So I do recommend it. And I love this song, Redemption Song, because, you know, we are all working towards that freedom from mental slavery, freedom from psychic slavery, freedom from emotional slavery, freedom from physical slavery. We all become bound to certain situations in our lives, and we want to seek to move on from those situations and find the kind of liberation that we need to move forward and be able to be prosperous, but also just fully expressive within our lives. And I find that that's the work that I have been doing on a personal level, is just really working towards staying focused. It's so easy to be triggered into some external need, and not that we can deny whatever that expression of need may be. It could be political, it could be just survival, that we have to divide our attention into the engagement in the world, that we are just living our lives, and sometimes we lose track of who we are on the inside. We lose track of that inner life and the inner world. And some, I would imagine, have not even been introduced to that inner life. We are living in a time when most people live their lives externally, entertain themselves externally, receive all of their ideology externally, and your life becomes a matter of what you've been exposed to and what you have adopted as a particular belief system. And when we're living in a world in which the message being shared with us is so prominent that we can begin to see that people are being manipulated like pieces on a chessboard, engaging in confrontation and conflicts based on ideologies of an external source. And we're not so much the idea of understanding that we have an internal force, some would say source, but there is a facet of our being that doesn't really engage with the outside world except through us, except through our expression. So if we can make space within our mind, within our hearts, for that deeper emanation to come through, then we can begin to really be greater architects of our experience in the world. And if we can understand, maybe you go through a time where you're working someplace you don't like it, or you're serving a role you don't really like it, and you may be engaged with it, and you know you're waiting to retire, or you're waiting to find something better because of the conditions of life, you know, just to be able to survive. It becomes a challenge to find that internal voice and that internal guidance, because it may be there may be another way to reach that space of fulfillment within our experience of life, so that we can, even within the context of working somewhere or doing something that doesn't quite resonate, we can bring to it a different kind of expression. So if you're working somewhere or engaged in somewhere, or maybe with family, and you just really don't get along or you don't like the space you're in, you can begin to master that space more like a samurai, more like a master of the art of communication, to be able to, if we can interact in ways that we can mitigate being triggered from the outside, and also triggered from our own thought patterns or patterns of life we've been living, that underneath all these layers there's a real level of mastery that can come forth, so that when we are in a conversation we can speak in a way that is more, I would say, strategic, except that it's an honest strategy of not allowing someone else's opinion to control how you feel about yourself, or not allow a particular situation in the world to cause you to lose connection with your own stability and your own sense of being and sense of balance. And this is something that is not really taught from the outside, except that to point in the direction of your to be internally reflective, because every person is different. One of the reasons I believe that spirituality and religions don't really work is because it's not allowing people to find within themselves their own sense of direction and their own sense of balance of right and wrong and their own sense of mastery to move through the world. And I'm trying to think of a way to illustrate what I'm saying, but there's a way to disagree with someone and to engage with someone without condemning that person. There's a way to engage with someone and disagree with someone without allowing another's condemnation of you. And when we can get into that kind of expression, then that allows an opportunity for that deeper wisdom to come through and for that inner light to be reflected through into the world, so that you are able to uplift where you are and what your environment is. And I have found that the best time to entrain oneself for this practice is in those really quiet moments of when the world is asleep, you know, so 3 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. Generally, if you find yourself waking up during those times, you know, some of it's to go to the bathroom, but a lot of times you'll wake up at that time because the spirit within you understands that the veil and the obstructions are thinnest at that time, and you can open to each other in the sense that if you think of yourself and your inner self as being, it's like having an inner twin. It's you, but it's a part of you that is connected more to the spirit realm than to the physical realm. And we as physical beings are more connected to the physical realm rather than the spirit realm. But there needs to be a space of unification between these two realms of our being in order for us to navigate more holistically through our life. And it also gives us that opportunity to kind of bask in that sunlight of the inner spirit, the inner soul wisdom, that inner voice, because it's not really coming from the thinking brain. And there is an energy available to each and every one of us that is very uplifting and very self-loving and very wise. And we can connect to that within ourselves, and I believe that we absolutely need to plug into that part of ourselves on a regular basis so that we can have that fuel. It's what gives us the life energy to move through our world. It's what gives us the capacity to heal on a physical, spiritual, and psychological level. I don't believe that it can entirely be done just from external engagement. We have to become acquainted with that part of ourselves that is of a different order of being. And we are enmeshed, we are overlaid, we are in many ways absolutely twin, duplicate, but there's just different powers and the different parts of our being. So I have begun to, well, I've always kind of reached for it, but I've had opportunities throughout my experience here in this realm of Earth to really make that deep connection to the point that you can cooperate at a much higher level so that the enslaving facets of our world become almost, I won't say irrelevant, but not so strong to the point that we lose ourselves within that, but rather we allow that part of our being that is imperishable to be able to counsel us in ways that will make a significant difference, but also that energy that comes forth, the healing that comes forth, is something that will help you to let go of some of the old patterns and let go of some of the old hurts, and you can begin to experience new encounters and challenges from a much more objective vantage point, because ultimately you realize that whatever somebody may be viewing you as is never going to be the wholeness of who you are. Whatever someone is judging you as is never going to be the wholeness of what you are. And we can as well look at those in our world that we get frustrated with and realize that, you know, just like I have this deeper sacred facet of my being, so do they. And when we can begin to get in touch with whom we are, then we have a different way of looking upon other living beings, and we can say, well, I can see that this person is engaging in a certain way, but I needn't think that that's all that there is. And so as you're engaging with a person, you don't even really have to try to convince someone of anything. It's about getting in touch with your deepest humanity, your deepest spirit, soul, self, so that in the engagement of that interaction, there can be a transmission that is silent, that is invisible. And it's very much like when you're, if you're in an environment where people are excited and angry, that's going to stir up those emotions in you. If you're someplace and people are acting suspicious, they don't have to say anything. You feel that. You start looking around and like, well, what's going on in this space? Or if you're in an environment where someone is just generally critical and judgmental, then you're going to feel some kind of way about that. If a person is walking with a lot of rage, you're going to be responding to that. So there's this whole dynamic between human beings that is nonverbal, that is happening through an expression of whatever it is that the person is emanating from their spirit or their emotions or their psychology, whatever it may be. And, you know, in extreme situations, sometimes you have to take actions. But in general speaking, when you begin to engage with people from a spirit of compassion, from a spirit of love, from a spirit of understanding, from a spirit of allowing a person to act out without receiving any particular judgment from you, it shifts the dynamic in the same way. And so when we are self-empowered from that internal source, it allows us to have a little bit of a leg up on things. It allows us to perceive much more expansively. It allows us to engage with people in a way in which a person's particular behavior will not trigger us. And it allows us to make choices and to make moves that are just much more substantial and will get us further in any given situation. And it also gives us allowing a level of perceptibility so that when we are meeting people and having experiences, we can begin to perceive where they are in the dynamic of their forward consciousness and their inner being. And there may be a complete disconnect there between the person who might be raging or cowering or whatever, however they're expressing their emotions and feelings and thoughts at the moment. They themselves do possess this deeper source inside of themselves. And so if you're engaging with someone and it's not kind of working out in the interaction, you can work with your inner being and begin to offer that compassion to the person's inner being. They won't perceive it, but their inner self will perceive your effort to reach out. So I'm just saying that we can communicate with each other in a much more expansive way once we learn to have that communication within our own selves. We're able to have that deeper perception, and you can recognize it in the sense that it comes with a real tangible feeling of peace, a tangible feeling of that. It's a very warm, receptive kind of feeling that you can reach within yourself. And as you're reaching into that space, then you can begin to understand how, on a more cosmic level, how deeply each one of us is truly embraced and loved by the creative spirit. And I say that in terms of, you see that in the plant kingdom, you see that in the animal kingdom, you see that in the movement of the planets and the stars and the solar systems. These are much bigger systems that work together to make it possible for life to exist on this planet. Whether you believe in some kind of creator or not, it's kind of irrelevant in the sense that I'm just saying, look at what is. Look at how the mountains, the snow goes onto the mountains, and the mountains, when the snow melts, it flows down and feeds into rivers, and the rivers feed into streams, and the streams fertilize the earth, and the earth is able to grow plants, and the plants are able to feed the life on those lands. It's just a natural, harmonious flow within the natural world. And we see in the animal species how they tend to manifest collectively in how they express in the world. They tend to manifest in a way that creates cohesion with the communication of that species. I love to watch flocks of bird fly because it seems like they're flying of one mind. They're going in one direction and then the other direction. And, you know, so there's this kind of coherence that we see in the natural world that also exists within the human world. And we could recognize that when we look at ancient Aboriginal civilizations. I was looking at a brief little documentary on the Aboriginal people in Malaysia. And they look Asian. They have dark skin like black people. But they're very they have been very harmonious within the lands with equal contribution and collaboration by the men and the women. And they just have had, you know, it's a little different now after exposure, but they have had a very harmonious land. And I was reading, I like to read old books, I was reading about the original Aboriginal tribes or peoples of the West Coast of California, you know, which became the Gold Coast. And of course, they were all destroyed as a result of the onslaughts of the gold rush and, you know, commercialization. And ultimately, they were largely genocided. But when you read the old books, you know, and, you know, translated from German and some of them translated from Spanish, depending on who the explorers, the original explorers were. And so they would come into these lands and they would talk about how they had these huge civilizations. And they were saying it's so remarkable. It's all so coherent. They don't have police. They don't have, you know, all of these things because they're living harmoniously. And that, in the end, is part of why they were so vulnerable. But they had these huge harmonious populations before they were ultimately genocided. But my point being is that when you look at some of the ancient civilizations, they were kind of operating out of this harmonious existence that comes from the greater harmony that exists in our full dimensional world from the planet to the cosmos. There's a certain coherent harmony there. And human beings are capable of being part of that harmony. Though we have our thinking mind, we can operate in the world in ways that other kinds of species can't. But I feel that if we can get back in touch with that deeper voice, that deeper wisdom, it allows us to fall into that rhythm of harmony that allows us to regard life and as valuable, that allows us to have open hearts and open expressions and being willing to reach out and not feeling fearful and vulnerable the way we're trained to be. I mean, we have to keep our guard up. I'm not saying be foolish or anything. There are real dangers in our world at this time. What I'm suggesting is that we can open up that space within that it's almost like allowing the universe to awaken inside of you. And we can begin to think of our organs as being like planetary bodies and our energies flowing to be like, you know, stars and suns. And we can begin to understand that we have this really powerful capacity that we can tap into on the inside or through the inside. And the experience of it is a little bit like walking through a portal. Like if you've ever watched, you know, these science fiction movies, which I have grown up always loving, you know, Beam Me Up, Scotty, and, you know, you get beamed in onto the ship or beamed down into the planetary that you're exploring. Or you have these picture, these movies where there are like swirling portals and you can walk through and be in a different reality. But in substantive ways, our inner being is kind of like that. We have these internalized portals. Like in the middle of every cell, they say, is a black hole. So I'm just saying that we have these capacities within that allow, that can allow us to reach beyond this particular realm and reach into much more expansive realities. And I'm not saying like you just walk through physically, but your emotional body, your psychic body, your etheric body can move through different spaces and open up to different wisdoms that will come through into your life expression, so that we can truly, if we, as we begin to pay attention to this and meditate upon it, bring our awareness and our focus internally. For me, I generally work with the heart energy. It's the most powerful energy in the body. And so, for instance, if they have one of these machines that read your energy, your brain energy emanates a certain distance. The heart energy emanates the farthest and the strongest. It's actually our strongest energetic field. But you can think of it just like it can be read on the outside by this technology. That energy field doesn't end. It's not from the outside to the body. It's also from the body internally into a non-physical space that allows us to tap into that greater power. So when we're meditating and bringing our awareness into the field of our heart, and it's like swimming in, sinking in, just really bringing the attention there, but attention that's neutral, attention that doesn't bring an ask, not asking for something, not looking for something necessarily, just being present within that energetic space. And what happens as we bring our presence into the field of our heart space, it's the center of the chest, and just allow ourselves to exist within that space, you begin to become more ethereal-like in your awareness, and you can open up to a much deeper wisdom, which is your wisdom, that's coming through your history, that's coming through the knowledge that you brought with you, but that we never really learned to gain access to in our particular civilization. And I suspect that in many of those more ancient civilizations, they were able to tap into that, and it's why they were able to create magnificent things and have really very evolved societies. And from my vantage point, as we've become more physical in nature, in our attention, it's become a degeneration of a human being, so that we on this planet are operating less than animals. I wouldn't even say some of the behavior I see and experience is animalistic, because animals are too nice for that. If an animal kills you, it means it's hungry. For the most part, you know, there's no ulterior motives there. And so humanity has allowed itself to sink to such a subspecies level that we're willing to, generally speaking, we destroy each other, destroy the planet, destroy the world. So I don't perceive that fighting each other externally is the full answer to the problem. I feel that we have to move back internally into who we truly are as beings and begin to access that really deep power that allows us to direct energy, that allows us to transmute energy. And that's the way that we can begin to engage in the world, by making ourselves more full and complete beings, so that when we engage with the world as a, I won't say an avatar, but as a representative of the whole truth of the cosmic experience. That the nature of life, you know, a lot of people think that people are naturally bad or naturally evil. I don't believe that. I think that we are half of a person being cut off through our education systems and through our societies. We're cut off from whom we really are and what our true powers are. And from my vantage point, we need to re-engage that part of ourselves so that we can begin to transmute and heal our physical bodies. We can begin to transmute and heal our environments, and we can begin to engage with each other in such a way that is reflective of our true capacity as beings. So I guess that's my rant for today. I wasn't watching the clock and I'm out of time. So I'll play a little more music for you and then invite you to stay tuned for more programming. This has been Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis, and you hear this program over WBAI 99.5 FM, WBAI.org on Friday mornings at 11 a.m. And you can also hear this program over the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.live, on Saturdays at 6 p.m. And I'm working on a lot of things, moving out into the world, working on helping people to make that dynamic transformation. For me, my tool is Qigong and Taoism. If you're into yoga, that's fine, that works. In the martial arts, that works. Into Christian religion, that works. Into Islamic religion, it can all work if you approach it from this perspective of your deeper, heartfelt self, rather than from the perspective of engagement from the external. So that's my thoughts for today. Stay tuned.